three things that it takes to be in the army of the Lord. First of all, we have to trust God. We have to trust that he's not going to take us into a battle without giving us the ability to win that battle. If you stop and think about the people that they sang about tonight, they sang about Gideon, who with 300 men faced an army that was a lot bigger than his. With a torch hidden by a pitcher and a trumpet. Trumpet in one hand and a torch with a pitcher over it in the other hand. And he divided his troops into three companies, and at the right time he told them to blow the trumpet, break the pitcher so the light would shine, and shout out the sword of the Lord and Gideon. He won a great victory against all. If you look at the human odds, he should have lost. He should have lost. They sing about David, who went up against a giant, a little shepherd boy. Didn't have any military experience. He was a shepherd. He kept the sheep for his father. He went to visit his three older brothers that were in the army to see how the fight went, to see how they were doing. And he heard this giant of a Philistine come and curse his God. And David said, well, why don't somebody go out and teach this giant of a Philistine that God is God and it's not right to curse him? And his older brother heard him talking like this and says, yeah, I know why you came down here. You came just to see the battle. Who's taking care of those few sheep that you watch? Why don't you just go home, mind your own business, keep your nose out of stuff that, you know, you have no business being in. And David says, what are you yelling at me for? Isn't there a cause? Isn't there a cause that somebody should stand up and show this uncircumcised Philistine that there is a God in heaven and he's greater than any giant? So they sang about Gideon, who trusted God. They sang about David, who trusted God. They sang about Daniel, even though Daniel didn't lead an army into a fight, didn't stand and face a giant like Goliath did, he still stood for God. When they passed that law that said, nobody can ask anything of any god except the king for 30 days, the Bible says that Daniel did what he did every day. He went into his room, faced Jerusalem, and prayed to his God. As a result, he was thrown in the lion's den and again had to trust God. And so I would tell you tonight, if you want to be in the army of the Lord, you have to learn to trust God. You have to learn that he's not going to send you into any situation, into any battle without giving you what you need to do, or without giving you what you need to face that battle, to face that fight, to face that giant. Whatever he puts in front of you, he will give you what you need to beat it if you trust him. Because his arm is mighty, and there's no foe that can stand before him. And so they taught us they sang to us tonight and reminded us that we need to trust the Lord. The second thing they reminded us, that if you're going to be in the army of the Lord, you need to learn to be obedient. They sang about Jonah, who wasn't obedient, who ran from God's direction, and ended up in the belly of a whale. And in the belly of that great fish, he learned the lesson that all of us need to learn from his experience. We don't need to go through it ourselves. You know, it always amazes me how we have to learn lessons ourselves. We can't learn lessons that other people learn. We seem to have to go through the same hardship to learn the lesson. Why can't we learn the lesson from Jonah that it just pays to obey God immediately? When he tells us to do something, why can't we just be obedient and do it? And if you're going to be in the army of the Lord, you have to learn not only to trust your commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have to learn to be obedient. You have to learn to do what he says, when he says to do it, in the way he says to do it. And then the third thing they reminded us of, that if we're going to be in the army of the Lord, we need to give him 100%. We need to give him our all. How many of you would like to be defended by an army where the soldiers did not give 100%? Where the soldiers just said, well, I'll give you 50% of my effort, or 75% of my effort, or 80% of my effort. No, if I'm going to be defended by an army, and if I'm going to be in an army, I want to be in an army where people are given 100%. They're giving their best. They're giving their all. And isn't that what God demands or wants from all of us? Isn't that what he deserves from all of us? I will remind you tonight of something I said this morning. We are in a battle. And our battle is not against other men. We're not going to save our country by changing the laws, by changing the government. The way we're going to save our country is by turning back to God and seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. See, that's the battle that we're in. We're not in a battle to take over the government. We're not in a battle to take society to a place that, I mean, our battle is for the souls of men and women, of boys and girls. Our battle is for the souls of every grandparent, of every parent, of every child. Our battle is fought against Satan and the powers of darkness over the souls of men. Every single person has a soul that will never die. Every single person has a soul that will live forever somewhere. And that there's only two somewheres. There's only heaven and hell. There's nothing else in between. Just heaven and hell. And tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're in a battle for your soul. We want you to go to heaven. We want you to enjoy eternity with us in that place that God has prepared for each one that names the name of Christ. I'll just be honest with you tonight. Satan wants you to go to hell. I don't know any other way to say it. Satan wants you to go to hell. He wants you to spend eternity apart from God in that place that's a bottomless pit where the fire never goes out, a place of darkness where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what Satan wants for every person. But that's not what God wants. God loved the world. He loved you as an individual. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. For your sins. For your sins and for my sins. And if you've never asked him to be your Savior, we're in a fight for your soul tonight. You don't realize that, but we're in a fight for your soul. We want you to go to heaven. We want you to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mean, that's why we do most things around here that we do. To share the gospel with Jesus Christ. The kids singing that song, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Comes from the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. And the Lord asked a question, who should we send? Who should I send with my message? Who should I? And he asked the question today, who should I send with my message of salvation? Who should I send to tell the lost about Jesus Christ? Who should tell that teenage boy about the Savior? Who should tell that middle-aged couple about the one who died for them? Who should tell those grandparents that there is a place called heaven and they can go if they accept Jesus Christ? Who can I send to tell them the saving story of Jesus Christ? And every single one of us ought to do what that song says. We ought to raise our hand and we ought to say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. I'll go." That's what Isaiah said. I'll go. Send me. There are thousands of people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We interact with them every day. That's the battle we're in. That's the battle. Our battle is not to put prayer back in public schools, although I think it ought to be back in public schools. Our battle is not to put the Bible back in public schools, although I think our public schools were a lot better when they had the Bible in them. Our battle is not to change any law or anything like that. Our battle, and the way we'll be victorious, is to bring men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. That's our battle. That's our cause. And by the way, if we get enough people saved, all that other stuff will happen anyway. It will. It'll happen anyway. But our battle is to share the gospel. Our battle is to tell people about Jesus Christ. You're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're a sinner. In fact, I'll just say we're all sinners. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. Separation from God for all eternity. Separation from God now. Brother Gary saying, I don't know how people make it in this world without Jesus Christ. I couldn't. But separation from God, not only here, but forever. And if we got what we deserved, every single one of us would be in hell. But God loved us. Loved us while we were sinners. Loved us enough to send his son to pay for our sins, to die in our place. That's what he did on Calvary. Paid for every one of our sins. And so he's able to offer to each one of us a gift. The gift of eternal life. To be with him forever. Say, what do I got to do to get that gift? You just got to take it. Just like you do any other gift. Just got to take it. Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's all you got to do is take that gift of eternal life. Say, well, how do I do that, preacher? You just understand that you're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, and then ask Jesus to save you. Just ask him to save you. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I believe what the preacher says, that there's a penalty for that sin. I also believe what he said, that Jesus paid my price. And I want him to save me tonight. And if you will ask him with a simple prayer of faith, say, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Jesus, please save me. If you would ask him with a simple prayer of faith, he will save you. He will. He will. You will. Would you do that tonight? Is there somebody here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior? In just a minute, we're going to bow our heads. We're going to sing another song. We're going to stand and sing another song. And during that song, you can pray right where you are and ask Jesus to be your Savior. You can come and I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible the verses that I've mentioned and help you pray that prayer and ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian here tonight, like most of us are, then we've been reminded, we're in the army of the Lord. We have a battle to wage, and that battle is for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the children. Thank you for the truth that they have reminded us of. Help us to be good soldiers. Help us to understand that there is a cause, and that cause is to see other people saved. And Father, I pray tonight, if there is somebody here that's never asked Jesus to be their, this may be their first time here tonight, if they've never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that they would come and we could help them pray that prayer and they would ask Jesus to save them. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it for your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.